Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. We made it to hour two of the big show today. Great to have you with us. At this very moment, impeachment 2.0 is underway up on Capitol Hill. We're going to get the very latest on that in just a little while. Not much in the way of fireworks just yet, but we've got our team monitoring the social media pages. Anything breaks up or breaks out, we will break in and let you know about that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, our website is toddstearns.com, and we have so much great stuff for you to check out there. And we are just always excited when you guys drop by and you read our stories and you download and share all of our information. ToddStearns.com live show blog. Be sure to check that out. So look, a very exciting thing happened late over the weekend when the Supreme Court jumped in to this fight over freedom of religion in the state of California. Now, Governor Gavin Newsom has been pretty heavy-handed when it comes to churches and houses of worship. And indoor worship was actually banned. People were not allowed to sing. They were not allowed to do much of anything. If they wanted to have church, they had to go outside. And that has caused a lot of controversy, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, and a number of lawsuits. Well, the Supreme Court ruled on two of those issues over the weekend. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, great attorney, Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here, Todd.
So this is sort of a win-ish, I guess. Is that a fair way to call it for the houses of worship in California?
Look, a win is a win is a win, and right now when you can have the Supreme Court reaffirm religious liberty in the face of ongoing restrictions that seem to consistently move, I think we ought to be very thankful that this is an actual win. Regardless of maybe we would want it to be larger, it's sufficient for the day right now, and certainly a pushing in the right direction.
Well, and again, let's talk about the specifics here. Churches were not allowed to hold indoor services. Now they will be allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So churches were, in fact, California is, I think, the last state in the entire country that still had a complete ban on religious worship services indoors. And that becomes very important, especially in the month of February. Not every place in California is sunny and warm and you can do beach church and sit there with your Tevas and your Hawaiian shirts to have church. There are places that are deep in the snow right now in California but are still not able to have services. And even if you are able to do it outside, you know, with the recent spate of violence against people of faith, it's not always a safe thing to be outside where you're much more vulnerable than inside of an actual building. But the bottom line is this. The Supreme Court justices reviewed this case one more time and said, look, these restrictions have gone on long enough. In fact, I think the best way to explain it is just quote directly from Justice Gorsuch's concurrence here in this decision. He said that government actors have been moving the goalposts on pandemic-related sacrifices for months, adopting new benchmarks that always seem to put restoration of liberty just around the corner. As this crisis enters its second year and hovers around a second Lent, a second Passover, and a second Ramadan, it is too late for the state to defend its extreme measures with the claims of temporary exigency if it ever could. That is right on. The goalposts have consistently moved now for a year. You heard me even, I think, on this show, Todd, back last March say, look, it's okay for the state to insist upon a temporary pause on some of these things to get a pandemic under control, but these are no longer temporary. These are consistent moves now that are restricting religious liberty and other precious freedoms, and the Supreme Court has now said, we've had enough. You've had long enough to figure out how to deal with this pandemic. You can no longer restrict these individual civil rights that are protected by the First Amendment. So kudos on the majority of the Supreme Court for pushing back against Governor Newsom and the rest of his cronies out there who, while they dine at the French laundromat or whatever it's called out there, they are requiring all the rest of the Californians to hunker down unnecessarily in removing their First Amendment freedoms in the process.
You know, Jeremy, I thought Justice Gorsuch did such a tremendous job of outlining the issues here. And he, you know, flat out said that churches, houses of worship, are being treated differently than secular organizations that are somewhat similar in nature. And he gave the great example. He said, you know, if Hollywood is able to host some sort of a music competition like The Voice or whatever, or The Masked Singer, then and then you're telling us that you still can't have a church choir or a worship band, that's a problem.
That sure puts it in a bright, stark contrast, doesn't it? Where you're able to have, and he says earlier in his opinion, people milling about train stations and crossing paths with one another in tight spaces and other places. I always use the example of the grocery store. I mean, they've never had capacity restrictions on grocery stores, and you could spend all day long inside of a grocery store passing up and down the aisles with dozens, if not hundreds, of other people during that entire time, but don't you dare go inside a church that may be two or three times bigger than that with, 25% or less of the capacity there. And then keep in mind, again, that California's restrictions said no indoor services whatsoever. Not even a percentage of people could meet within those bodies. Freedom of religion is either free or it's not. And we've spent a year now being told, well, just around the corner, you'll have your freedom again. I think the country is rather tired of empty promises and continual holding of the carrot out in front of them to say, well, someday I'll give you them back. It's all right for the American people to now take comfort in the fact that the Supreme Court has said, no, sorry, Governor Newsom, freedom means freedom. You cannot restrict these individuals without due cause, and you're not able to actually present that to us if you're sending people to The Voice, but you won't allow people to go to church on Sunday.
Well said. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Jeremy Dice, attorney with First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, here we are in the early throes of the Biden administration. I know a lot of people out there are bracing for the looming attacks on religious liberty. What are you guys seeing early on here?
Well, we're seeing a lot of, I think they're running out of ink in the White House due to so many signatures on executive orders. I don't know what number we're up to right now, but it is a far cry less than any other administration before it in its early days of the presidency. And so there's an undoing of a lot of the great work that the Trump administration had done. And that really concerns issues that are going to come to be palpable later on. For instance, there's a great Department of Labor rule that Justice Scalia's son, Eugene Scalia, when he was the head of the DOL, put into place there that protected faith-based businesses who happen to contract with the federal government. Now, you may not do that, and other faith-based businesses may not have that very often, but there are very important businesses like those who put together those little packets of communion wafers and wine to provide to our men and women in the armed forces when they're on deployment in other places. Well, can those individuals maintain their faith-based personality and their identity and still contract with the federal government to provide that vital service? That's now in question with the rules that are being removed and replaced with other things and demanded of people to change their perspective before they can actually partner with the federal government. That was a great change under the Trump administration. I'm worried that that is now being rolled back. And look, quite frankly, it's hard to keep up. There's such a fire hose of executive orders coming out of Washington right now that it's difficult to figure out which one to shoot at first. But be sure, First Liberty Institute is paying attention to every one of those, and we're working together with others on a plan to continue to push back to preserve religious liberty for all Americans. You can find out more about that, of course, at firstliberty.org.
And also to donate to the cause. And folks, First Liberty is a nonprofit. They don't charge people for representing them in these lawsuits. And so it's incumbent upon all of us to chip in and help them in this good and noble cause as they are fighting to defend religious liberty. Jeremy, we're going to leave it there. As always, good stuff. Now, you said The Voice. Have you watched this show, The Masked Singer? Have you seen that?
You know, I'm so tired of masks right now, I don't know that I want to watch someone wearing one.
Well played. I don't understand that. I just don't get that show. All right, Jeremy, God bless, and thanks for the update.
Thank you, sir.
I think it's like they have these people in these costumes, and they're like dancing around singing, and then you have to guess who the person is, and it's like a famous singer, and they had Sarah Palin on there. 1 year. That was, I don't know, that's a lot, that's a jump the shark moment for me. All right, we've got to take a break here, and good for First Liberty Institute standing up for our rights here. Good for the Supreme Court. Dare I remind you that it was Neil Gorsuch appointed to the Supreme Court by none other than Donald John Trump. As a matter of fact, the ruling to reopen churches in California, a 6-3 decision, all of President Trump's appointees sided with religious liberty. And that was a good thing. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, so this is sort of interesting here, folks. From Mediaite.com, they are reporting on a brand new poll that was conducted by CBS and YouGov. And I'm a little surprised by this. According to CBS and YouGov, 73% of Republicans say it's important for the party to remain loyal to President Trump, even though he's out of office. That is a massive number, 73%. We're talking, when you do the math here, we're talking about 7 in 10 Republicans say they would actually consider joining a new party started by the president. So here's the question. If President Trump starts a new political party, would you join? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. 844-747-8868. They say, again, 73% of Republicans say it's important for the party to remain loyal to the president. And this is even after the events of January the 6th. So what does that tell us? What should we extrapolate from this survey? Well, by and large, the rank and file, an overwhelming majority of Republicans understand that we don't have all the facts about what happened on January the 6th. And that an overwhelming number of Republicans don't believe the narrative coming out of the mouths of the Democrats, the mainstream media, or the Republicans. They believe something else is going on here, and they don't believe Donald John Trump is involved. You say, well, Todd, how can you say that? Because 73% of Republicans say that the party still needs to back President Trump. This is pretty fascinating. Now, there was another poll that we talked about. This came out in late January. This was the Hill-Harris poll. And that poll found that 64% of registered Republicans would join Trump if he formed his own political party. So now you have two separate polls that suggest an overwhelming majority of Republicans are ready to bolt. Now, what is that also? That also tells us something else. It tells us that the rank and file, the average Republican, is disgusted with their party. That the average Republican, even though they go and vote and they pull that lever on election day for the person that has the R after their name, that they're disgusted with the party. They can't trust the party. They're not buying what the party is selling. So let's go to the phones here and talk about this. Would you join a party started by President Trump? Let's go to Arkansas. Carly on the line. All right, Carly, what do you think here?
I think as a staunch Trump supporter, I think we would be remiss as Republicans to divide the party. Well, while I applaud the attempt and I understand the reason for it, as 70% of Republicans would join the Trump Party, that still divides out 30% of the Republican Party, but we're struggling at this point so much to maintain any type of even halfway balance in Congress right now. I think it would be a mistake to divide the party.
Well, Carly, look, I'm with you. I think that we, you know, conservatives are the majority. I mean, if you're looking at 73% of Republicans who say the GOP should remain loyal to Trump, that tells me that 73% of the party is the Make America Great Again crowd. We control the party. For whatever reason, establishment is leading the party, but we are the rank and file.
Right. I agree with that. I could preach all day long about it. Dividing the party is a bad idea.
Oh.
There's been a lot of people in government who have spoken out about that.
I say, instead of starting a new party, Carly, just get rid of the Republican leadership we got, the Republican leadership that caused us to lose in the first place.
Yeah, I think we would be well placed to take a look at what has caused that 30% division from the 73% you say majority within the Republican Party itself, and find out where that division lies that keeps the Republican Party from being a unified force.
That is my concern. And it has been my concern all along. Carly, thanks for the call. Let's go to Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. All right, Bill, what you going to do? You going to stay or follow Trump?
You know, I'm going to make it conditional, actually. I was thinking about it after I talked to Grace. If Mitch McConnell and several of the other, quote-unquote, leadership of the Republican Party left, I don't think we'd have a need to start a new party. But as it is right now, if Trump were to start a party, I would have to be one of the 73%, I think, that followed him. The leadership doesn't stick together. The Democrats stick together like glue, and they totally have the wrong ideas, but they stick together and push them through. The Republican Party has the right ideas. We don't stick together.
No,
and that 73% of the people that would do stick.
Bill, there's no loyalty among Republicans. I mean, somebody looks at you the wrong way, and they're running for cover. I've never seen anything like it.
It's gotten really bad. I agree with you 100%. And I'm fed up with not the party. I am a loyal Republican. Though it doesn't sound like it right now, but I am not loyal to Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Sass, any of the others that did not stand with Donald Trump and against the election fraud that we all know happened. Those people are destroying the Republican Party.
No, you're absolutely right. Bill, I hate to do this. We've got a skedaddle. We're getting ready to take a break here. But Bill in Cordova says he would follow Donald Trump. The condition, the caveat being, unless they get rid of their current leadership. So look, we're going to open up the phone lines here, and we got to take a break, so hang tight. We're going to get to Mike in Bartlett, Tennessee, Jonathan in Memphis. We got Greg in Maine. You guys hang tight. We've got a line open, 844-747-8868. Do you stay with Trump, or stay with the party, or do you go with Trump? What do you do, America? What do you do? All right, got to take a break. This is Todd Stern Show.
Welcome to the stupidest week in the Senate. While Speaker Pelosi sent these backbenchers to tie up the Senate, she sent the rest of the House home instead of leaving them here to carry out the actual work of the American people. Impeachment is not something we should use flippantly. As a response to her view that President Trump demeaned the office, she actually is now making a mockery of Congress and one of the most serious institutions and processes in our country. Frankly, it's disgusting.
All right, that was Senator Kevin Cramer, the Republican from South Dakota. The stupidest week in the Senate. That is really saying something when you consider how much stupid stuff they do up on Capitol Hill. But the impeachment trial is underway, and our team here working hard to monitor that, and we'll bring you up to speed on any new developments. A lot of you folks on hold right now, hang tight for just a moment. I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. One of the other big stories we've been following, the Biden administration undoing all the great good that was done by the previous president by securing the border and rounding up these criminal illegal aliens. And now the Biden administration is undoing all of this. And there are a lot of people that are very, very concerned. Chief among them is the sheriff of Frederick County in Maryland. We want to welcome Sheriff Chuck Jenkins to the program. Sheriff, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Sheriff, what concerns you about what you are hearing coming out of the White House these days?
I've got very, very deep concerns about what we are facing headed our way in terms of, number one, the basically the opening of the border, the southern borders, and then the fact that this administration has basically said ICE can no longer do their jobs. So we have no border enforcement, no interior enforcement. The problems that we have seen over the past many years are only going to increase.
Sheriff, what are you hearing from the people around your community, your county?
In regard to this issue?
Right, about the lack of a crackdown on illegal immigration.
Well, listen, I think by and large, law-abiding citizens want law and order. They want the laws enforced. They want criminal aliens who are arrested for crimes and face punishment. Once they face their punishment in the states, they want them removed from this country. And ICE is no longer going to do that. We have a program here that we've worked with ICE for 12 years now, the 287G program. Highly effective, very successful, and we've seen tremendous results of criminals removed from this community and out of this country. And that's no longer going to be the case.
No, you're right, Sheriff. The Washington Post got a hold of a memorandum. The administration telling ICE you're no longer allowed to deport convicted drug criminals, DUIs, low-level assault cases, thieves. These people are going to be allowed to stay in America and prey upon the law-abiding citizens of this country.
They're going to be roaming with impunity. Again, what the president has done with this order is just functionally totally dismantled ICE. I think you're going to see, and I don't know, I have no way of knowing other than suspicion that the public won't know what ICE is doing, that ICE will probably reduce in numbers through attrition, probably be reassignments to other divisions of Homeland Security. Listen, we've seen so many times, year after year, case after case, Americans the victims of crimes by illegal aliens, people killed, people maimed, all types of crimes, everything you can imagine. It will only get worse. And I want to say this. I am not against immigration, legal immigration, and I don't believe that everyone who crosses that border is a criminal, but we'll certainly get more than our share, including drug traffickers, including violent gangs, MS-13, 18th Street. They are coming our way.
And Sheriff, the reality is this is no longer just a border town issue. We're dealing with this issue in just about every city in America, every community in America, and it doesn't matter. And I'm with you. If you want to come to this country, you do it legally. But too many people are being killed on American soil by illegals, and that's got to stop.
I said years ago when I started to work with ICE and see the importance of this tool as a public safety tool, I said years ago, if we allow this to continue, every county will become a border county, and that's what we're facing. That's the truth. I'm a truth teller. That is the truth.
Well, Sheriff, we appreciate you standing up and fighting the good fight. And again, I suspect there are many other law enforcement officers and leaders like yourself. Are you hearing from other sheriffs who are just as concerned?
I stay in contact with the border sheriffs and a few other sheriffs around the country. But I'm encouraging right now every sheriff in this land, every police chief, every elected congressman, senator had better stand up and say, Mr. President, this can't happen. This is an America last view of everything.
All right, Sheriff, we're going to have to leave it there. We thank you for your comments, and thank you for standing up and speaking out.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Sheriff Chuck Jenkins there in Frederick County, Maryland. Want to bring you up to speed on a breaking news story. And we're going to get our staff to check this out. We're getting reports out of Buffalo, Minnesota. This is according to the Associated Press. There's been some sort of a shooting at a health clinic. All we're being told right now, one person in custody, multiple people were shot. This is about 40 miles northwest of Minneapolis. So we'll keep you posted on those developments. But again, there's been a shooting at a health clinic in Minnesota. All they're saying right now, multiple people were shot. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. This new survey coming out, over 70-some-odd percent of Republican voters say that if Trump starts a new party, they would join him. So let's go to Mike in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. Well, I'm a Trump guy, and if he started his own party, that's the way I would have to go. But that being said, I think the best way is for, A, this impeachment junk be tossed out, and, B, for all the rhino Republicans to be replaced with people that are really for our country and Donald Trump. I think it would be best to do it through the Republican Party as to not dilute votes and to try and go at it that way. I think McConnell and all of those that hung President Trump out to dry, I think they should all be gone and replaced with people that are really for the missing man in America and the forgotten man in America, and that's for the working people like Trump has always been, Todd.
And that's the great irony here, Mike. You know, a lot of these people, and we'll say on both sides of the party, on both sides of the aisle here, Republicans and Democrats, they're just regular folks. Maybe they're upper middle class folks. They get elected, and Mike, they come out as multimillionaires. And you're like, well, how did they do that on the taxpayer dime? And meanwhile, you've got a guy who, by the name of Donald Trump, who went out there and made a name for himself, made himself a billionaire. And he is the guy that is more in tune with the American working man than those people like Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney. And it's the great irony of ironies here. So, all right, Mike, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. We appreciate all of our great listeners on KWAM, and we've got another one. Let's go to Jonathan in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, Jonathan, I know you're a Trump supporter. That's what Grace tells me, but what say you?
Hey, Todd, glad to be on the radio with you. Not to repeat everything your last caller said, but I'm on the same wavelength. I am a Trump supporter. I was a Ted Cruz guy, but then I got on board. I'm now on the Trump train. And the reason is President Trump was the first politician that basically tried to do everything he said he was going to do. He accomplished a lot of what he said he was going to do. The other things, he tried his best, you know, but he was up against the Democratic Congress. But he tried his darndest to do everything he said he was going to do. He was up front. He was for America. Now, that being said, if Trump starts a new party, I'm on board. If he can stay in the Republican Party and get rid of the Liz Cheneys and the Mitt Romneys and actually make it a conservative Republican Party, I'm wherever Trump goes. So the Republican Party had better listen, because the majority of the people that are on board are following President Trump. And if they don't want to get on board, we're going to walk the other direction.
You know, Jonathan, I really do hope that party leaders hear what you are saying, because, and I'm with you. I think that we need to fight. We need to fight for the party. And clearly, our way of thinking is the majority of the Republican Party. But for some reason, the leadership is just entrenched. They're not going anywhere. And if you need any evidence of that, they had an opportunity behind closed doors in a private vote to get rid of Liz Cheney, and they did not do it. And that tells me they haven't learned anything from this election cycle.
I agree with you 100%, Todd. And McConnell is as wishy-washy as the wind blows east to west. It makes me shake my head.
Exactly. We need to teach them a lesson about loyalty. That's what this is about. Jonathan, great points. Give us a holler back. Don't be a stranger. And thanks for listening to us on KWAM. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. I got to take a break here, pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to the two Gregs, one in Maine, one in North Carolina. John in Little Rock, I see you up there. Got a line open now, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Let's get right back to the phones. A lot of folks want to weigh in on this, and I truly hope Republican leadership pays very close attention to what you guys are saying here. There are a lot of people that love the Republican Party, but they don't like the leadership very much, and that needs to be talked about, and that needs to be discussed. All right, let's go to the great state of Maine. Greg, listening to us on WLOB, the Big Lobster. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to weigh in. I think I've had to think about this really hard and long, but I think I would go with the new party because my senator, Senator Collins, I mean, after President Trump even endorsed her and asked us to vote for her, she goes and turns and stabs him right in the back, and I'm sick and tired of the establishment. I don't understand what they're doing anymore. And I'm totally fed up with them. I really do love the Republican Party, and it was because of President Trump I switched to the party. But they I don't feel they represent my voice anymore.
Greg, are you concerned, though, that a third party could possibly end up giving more power to the Democrats?
Well, yes, it's always a concern. But, I mean, if President Trump decides to stick with the Republican Party, that's fine. I'll, like your other caller said, I'll follow him, but I'm really torn here because I don't understand what they're doing anymore, and I certainly feel like they don't represent my voice anymore.
I'll say this, Greg, and again, we don't know how Susan Collins is going to vote on the, you know, if she's going to vote to convict. If she does, if any Republicans vote to convict, Greg, they need to be primaried and they need to be removed from the party. And I would say the same thing about those 10 Republicans in Congress who voted to impeach.
Well, I agree with you that 100%, Todd. It's a crazy time right now, but, you know, being hard towards, you know, another party. I don't want it. It probably would dilute, you know, the vote for the Republicans. But at this point in time, they're really not giving us much of a choice.
No, they're not, and you're right about that. They're not giving us a choice. But the reality is, we are the majority. We've got to stand up, and we've got to make our voice heard to party leadership. We've just got to do it. Greg, got to skedaddle. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to John in Little Rock, Arkansas, on KARN. All right, John, what's going on?
Hi, Greg. Good afternoon. Glad to visit with. Greg, I'm Todd. Sorry.
It's all right. I'll answer by anything, John. Hey,
well,
you.
I'm getting ahead of myself, trying to cram everything in a short period of time. So I want to piggyback on what Greg was saying a little bit. I picked up on the fact that Greg said that he had switched parties. Let me just real quick, kind of go through my political leanings over the years. You know, growing up here in Little Rock, didn't know nothing from nothing, but saw where we had a good old Arkansas boy going to make us proud and go to the White House. So I voted for Clinton. Going to admit that. Very disappointed. I think Arkansas got forgotten. You know, we just really didn't get any acknowledgement other than, you know, whenever he came back to looking for votes, and people still voted for him again. Fast forward to George Bush, changed. That's when I changed. I was like, this is the guy we really need. he had to deal with a lot with 9/11 and all the hurricanes, all the natural disasters during his terms. I really supported the GOP, gave money to the RNC. Then I started picking up on, I don't know that our state is really getting looked at once again. I don't know. I wonder how much money from the RNC that I give them actually comes back here, because all I see is postage and phone calls and people calling me for more money after I just gave them a check a week ago. So I started seeing this pattern. I thought, all they're really interested in is my money and my vote. That's it. They're not doing anything for me. They're not doing anything for me on a local level. I don't see any money coming in to support local candidates. And that's when I bailed out of the RNC, the GOP, and I looked at the Tea Party. I was real excited when the Tea Party came on. I think there's a number of people like myself, like Greg in Maine, we're looking for change. We want to see change, and we're tired of the same old two-party system. And I think that Donald Trump could bring that, to circle back, if you will. I hate to even use that term.
It's all right. Very well played, sir. Very well played.
If we have people like Greg, like myself, and I think you're going to see a lot of other people that voted for Biden just out of blind hate for Trump, and they're realizing, what have I done? Why did I do this? And, the never Trumpers, they're going to realize, we really need a change, a true change, and we need to get rid of people like Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Mitch McConnell, Liz Cheney in particular, all these people that have been a part of the establishment for decades. And then you look at the other side of the aisle. They've got more than their fair share of people like Sid Blumenthal, Nancy Pelosi, people that have just, really pulled our country down and have taken us in a direction I thought we'd never see. I think people are going to be surprised. I think the Republican Party will be really surprised at just how many people, and they're getting with this poll of 70%, they're getting put on notice. You need to change your ways. The Democrats have a spine. The Republican Party has lost it.
And John, what does it say in the good book, about birthing pains? You can know the time and the season. This is the birthing pains here, and they better pay attention. The warning signs are there for the Republican leadership. And I got to tell you, I think on the other side, the Democrats are facing their own civil war. I mean, who knows? We could end up having four political parties running. You could have the far left progressives, the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Trumplicans. That's a cool name for a party, I guess. I don't know. We might have to work on that. Branding. Hey, got to take a break here for the news. Hang around. We've got a couple of lines open. We're going right to the calls. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.